Tonight, cases of the coronavirus hitting their highest point in months, with the U.S. bracing for a drastic drop in vaccine supply. The country reporting more than 82,000 new cases in just 24 hours. Young people and unvaccinated adults fueling the surge. Hospitalizations skyrocketing in Michigan. The news coming as shipments of Johnson & Johnson's one-shot vaccine are expected to drop 85% nationwide in the coming week. And Pfizer now awaiting emergency use authorization to begin administering shots to children as young as 12. The other major story tonight, paying tribute to Prince Philip. Buckingham Palace today revealing plans for a private funeral at St. George's Chapel next Saturday. Prince Charles delivering a heartfelt address about his father, his devoted service to the Queen, his family, and country. And after that bombshell interview, what we've now learned about whether Prince Harry and Duchess Meghan will attend the funeral. Back home, the severe weather outbreak, deadly storms in the south, at least two people killed, multiple tornadoes reported, large hail and powerful winds causing damage in several states, the system ready to move its way up the East Coast, Rob Marciano timing it out. Embattled Congressman Matt Gaetz defiantly speaking out against allegations of sexual misconduct and sex trafficking, facing calls to resign, Gaetz telling a conservative women's group he's not going anywhere. Newly obtained video of a police confrontation in Virginia. An Army lieutenant suing officers who pulled their guns and pepper sprayed him during a traffic stop. New images of the volcano erupting on the Caribbean island of St. Vincent. Mass evacuations underway. Thousands forced from their homes. Cruise ships ready to take them to safety. And the world bracing for a possible wine shortage. Winemakers lighting fires trying to save their freezing crops.
ABC News World Headquarters in New York. This is World News Tonight.
Good evening. Thanks for joining us on this Saturday. I'm Whit Johnson. We begin tonight with the pandemic and the alarming rise in new cases. For the first time in nearly 2 months, the U.S. reporting 82,000 cases in a single day. And now another hurdle in the vaccine rollout. States bracing for a severe drop in supply from Johnson & Johnson. An 85% decrease in shipments next week. And vaccination sites in four states closing down temporarily out of an abundance of caution after a small number of people reported mild adverse reactions to the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Health officials insisting the shot is safe and that serious side effects are extremely rare. The news coming as states are trying to ramp up vaccinations, increasing eligibility. 68 million Americans are now fully vaccinated. That's more than 20% of the total population. But there are growing fears of a fourth surge, the country seeing 3 days in a row with more than 75,000 new cases. ABC's Trevor Ault leads us off from New York.
Tonight, with coronavirus cases rising to alarming levels once again, the nation bracing for a drastic drop in vaccine supply. Next week's shipments of Johnson & Johnson's single shot slated to plunge 85%.
The last thing we wanted to hear about was we're getting less vaccines.
Maryland Governor Larry Hogan saying in his state alone, they're now expecting 250,000 fewer doses over the next 3 weeks. And after a small number of people reported mild adverse reactions to the J&J shot, vaccination sites in four states that have the supply temporarily stopped administering it. The CDC insisting those doses are safe, and nearly every site has resumed.
I think it's very individualized. You're going to have people who have different effects from it.
But the concerns don't end there. In Europe, regulators are now looking into a possible connection between the Johnson & Johnson vaccine and a small number of blood clots, something some American health experts want examined.
We'll see whether or not that's a problem, but the important thing is to look.
And the supply strain coming as the U.S. tops 75,000 reported infections 3 days in a row, the 82,000 Friday, the most in nearly 2 months. In Michigan, one of several states now inundated by the UK variant, some hospitals again banning visitors and halting non-emergency procedures as the state positivity rate soars to 18%.
Right now, we're in a fourth surge.
But the state's governor, Gretchen Whitmer, so far resisting a return to strict lockdowns.
Policy change alone won't change the tide. We need everyone to step up and to take personal responsibility here.
We're seeing that fatigue having an impact across the country. Trevor Ault joining us now from a mass vaccination site in New York. And Trevor, we've been hearing health experts suggest that younger teens may be able to get vaccinated by fall, but you're learning that timeline could be moved up.
Well, that's right. With Pfizer applying for emergency authorization to administer the shot to 12 to 15-year-olds, health experts say young teenagers could start getting vaccinated in the early summer, if not earlier. The CDC director says that authorization could be granted in mid-May. Whit.
We'll stand by for news on that, Trevor. Thank you. Overseas now in the outpouring of tributes for Prince Philip, the 99-year-old husband of the Queen who had recently been hospitalized, dying yesterday at Windsor Castle. Crowds gathering outside Buckingham Palace, many leaving flowers. Prince Charles today paying tribute to his father and his years of service to the crown. The funeral set for next Saturday. And tonight we're learning his grandson, Prince Harry, will attend without his wife, Meghan, who is expecting their second child. ABC's Maggie Rulli at Buckingham Palace.
Tonight, as a nation mourns the loss of its prince, a son honors his father.
My father, I suppose the last 70 years, has given the most remarkable, devoted service to the Queen, to my family, and to the country. As you can imagine, my family and I miss my father enormously.
Prince Charles expressing his gratitude on behalf of the royal family.
My dear papa was a very special person who, I think, above all else, would have been amazed by the reaction.
Across the country, gun salutes honoring the life of Prince Philip, the Queen's beloved husband of more than 70 years. A constant stream of mourners laying flowers outside the gates of Buckingham Palace.
I think he'll be remembered as a public servant, an inspiration.
The royal family is urging those who wish to pay their respects to follow COVID restrictions. The UK's lockdown turning the Duke's funeral into a quieter family affair. The palace announcing that a maximum of just 30 guests will be allowed at his funeral, held next Saturday at St. George's Chapel in Windsor. Prince Philip was known for his wicked sense of humor that at times led to controversy.
He didn't suffer fools gladly.
And admired for his dedication to service to his queen and his country, attending more than 22,000 solo engagements and 2,000 royal trips.
My father was always a great source of support and encouragement.
Her Majesty, now a widow, without her strength and stay, her children coming to her side. Prince Edward's wife, Sophie, getting emotional as they left Windsor Castle, telling reporters the Queen has been amazing.
Let's bring in Maggie Rulli outside Buckingham Palace. And Maggie, we've learned that Prince Harry will be attending his grandfather's funeral, but without his wife.
Yeah, well, Meghan right now is pregnant with the couple's second child and says the doctors have advised her against traveling. But now what we do know that Harry, he's confirmed he will be here in the UK for his grandfather's funeral. And we know how close Harry was with his grandfather. Just recently, he shared this sweet story about how he and his grandfather would often Zoom together with baby Archie. So, you know, despite what's been a very public rift in this family recently, it seems that Harry is putting all of that aside to come back here and celebrate his grandfather's life. What?
A week of mourning ahead, too. Maggie, really for us, thank you. We do turn now to the deadly severe weather outbreak hitting parts of the South. Multiple tornadoes reported. This one here spotted east of Jackson, Mississippi. No major damage or injuries reported there. But at least one person died when an EF3 tornado touched down overnight in Palmetto, Louisiana. Much of the region feeling the impact of the storms. And here's ABC's senior meteorologist Rob Marciano.
Tonight, the deadly severe weather outbreak striking the South. Multiple reported tornadoes overnight, this one east of Jackson, Mississippi. In St. Landry Parish, Louisiana, north of Lafayette, a strong tornado with winds of at least 130 miles per hour striking in the middle of the night.
The glass was coming from the window, from the door right there, and we could hear as everything was starting to crumble.
Eva Council and her husband making it into their bathtub just in time. Tragically, one person killed and seven taken to the hospital. More than a dozen homes damaged. In Shreveport, a second death. A man killed when a tree fell on his home. And a line of severe storms sweeping across parts of the Gulf Coast. This massive waterspout moving ashore in Panama City Beach, Florida.
Look at that. Look at that.
The roof of this convenience store ripped off. Outside Pensacola, powerful wind gusts sending a tree crashing into this home, trapping a woman inside. First responders rushing her to the hospital.
So let's get to Rob Marciano. And Rob, take us through where the system is heading next.
Well, this line that's going through the Gulf Coast, especially potent, we had softball-sized hail in Orange Beach, Alabama. That's very rare, an 85-mile-per-hour wind gust in Fort Walton Beach. So a lot of wind damage with this thing. Now it's now going through Tampa, about to go through Orlando. It will weaken some, but the same areas tomorrow as that front kind of stalls will be up for more in the way of damaging winds and large hail. Tampa, Fort Myers, over to Jupiter, and up towards the Space Coast. The overall system pushes to the north and east, and we will see rain across the I-95 corridor and through New York and upstate New York, and that low kind of sits over Chicago for a second day of very slow-moving systems. So folks in the Midwest getting 2 days of rain. Whit?
We'll be watching for that, Rob. Thank you. To Minneapolis now, and the third week of the Derek Chauvin trial set to resume on Monday. More critical testimony expected. The prosecution trying to paint a damning picture of Chauvin's actions, calling on current and former members of law enforcement and medical experts to testify against the ex-police officer. Here's ABC's Rena Roy.
In the second week of the murder trial gripping the nation, prosecutors arguing Derek Chauvin's rogue actions directly caused Floyd's death, building their case, calling 11 current and former law enforcement officials to testify against the former police officer.
Sir, is this an MPD-trained neck restraint?
No, sir.
It is not part of our training, and it is certainly not part of our ethics or our values.
How damning has that testimony been?
It's been really remarkable. The blue wall of silence has come down in this case.
The jury hearing from several medical experts describing exactly how Floyd died in painful detail.
A healthy person subjected to what Mr. Floyd was subjected to would have died.
But Dr. Andrew Baker, the medical examiner who performed Floyd's autopsy, provided an opening for the defense, which argues heart issues and drug use led to his death.
In your opinion, both the heart disease as well as the history of hypertension and the drugs that were in his system played a role in Mr. Floyd's death?
In my opinion, yes.
When pressed by the prosecution, Baker still classifying Floyd's death as a homicide.
The defense has struggled to create reasonable doubt. We haven't gotten to their witnesses yet. There's a lot yet to come.
And George Floyd's family is expected to take the stand to tell the jury about who he was as a person, and the defense could start calling their witnesses at some point next week. Whit.
All right, Rena Roy for us. Thank you. We move on now to embattled Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz, fiercely defending himself over allegations of sexual misconduct and sex trafficking. Gaetz rejecting calls to resign, defiantly telling a conservative women's group he's not going anywhere. Here's ABC's Mary Alice Parks.
Tonight, Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz, defiant.
I'm built for the battle, and I'm not going anywhere.
Dismissing calls to resign at a Women for America First event at former President Trump's club in Doral, Florida.
And I won't be extorted. The truth will prevail.
The House Ethics Committee launching a new bipartisan investigation into Gaetz, examining allegations of sexual misconduct, illicit drug use, and accusations that the congressman may have shared inappropriate and explicit images on the House floor. The Justice Department investigating whether Gaetz and his associate Joel Greenberg paid women who were allegedly recruited online for sex and travel. Greenberg is already facing sex trafficking charges. He pled not guilty, but ABC News has learned that he is now considering a plea deal and could be cooperating with federal investigators. Greenberg's lawyer speaking out.
I'm sure Matt Gaetz is not feeling very comfortable today.
The congressman's office responding broadly in another statement out Friday, saying these allegations are blatantly false and have not been validated by a single human being willing to put their name behind them.
But two members of Gaetz's staff have resigned amid the allegations, but still Gaetz insisting he's not going anywhere. Whit.
Mary Alice, our thanks to you tonight. Now to the race to escape that erupting volcano in the Caribbean. Thousands evacuating as ash rains down on the island of St. Vincent. Four cruise ships rushing in to help take people to safety. Here's ABC's Julia McFarlane.
Tonight, the idyllic Caribbean island of St. Vincent covered in ash. Eerily empty after thousands of people told to evacuate immediately.
Me can't take it no more. I have to run. I have to move now.
The long dormant La Soufrière volcano erupting Friday.
Oh my goodness.
Spouting columns of smoke and ash more than 6 miles skyward. Now, fears that rain may cause the superheated ash in the air to harden into rock.
The ash ball itself, if it gets wet, it forms like a cement type of texture.
Luxury yachts and cruise ships being repurposed to transport evacuees. The Prime Minister of St. Vincent, thankful for help from neighbouring islands, today saying, "We are one Caribbean family." With experts warn that even bigger eruptions could still be in store, this could go on for months. With
still a concern for a lot of people there. Julia McFarland, thank you. There is much more ahead on World News Tonight this Saturday. The police confrontation between officers and an Army second lieutenant in uniform. The officers pepper spraying him during a traffic stop. And the former NFL player accused of a deadly shooting rampage, then taking his own life. The family now allowing testing on his brain.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Next tonight, newly obtained video of a police confrontation between officers and an Army second lieutenant. Police pepper spraying the lieutenant who was in uniform during a traffic stop. He's now suing the officers for everything that happened once he was pulled over. Here's ABC's Alex Preche.
Tonight, two Windsor, Virginia police officers are being sued by an Army second lieutenant, claiming his rights were violated during a traffic stop captured on multiple cameras.
Felony traffic stop.
Put your hands out the window!
Police body camera rolling as an officer attempts to stop in early December for a missing rear plate on the SUV. Army 2nd Lieutenant Karan Nazario behind the wheel, pulling over at a gas station 100 seconds later and starting his cell phone camera. He had picked a well-lit place to stop, his lawyer says, for safety. He does have a plate, a temp plate taped to the back window of his brand new car. But as seen on the video, the situation goes south quickly as a second officer arrives on the scene.
Put your hands out the window and turn the vehicle off!
More than 20 times, they order him out of the car.
Get out of the car now!
Get out of the car!
Now!
I'm honestly afraid to get out.
Yeah, you should be. Get out!
You feel like your client had a reasonable right to fear for his life?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Officer Gutierrez kind of backs that up.
One of the officers pepper sprays Nazario and forcibly removes him from the SUV.
Get out of the car!
Nazario was released with no charges. Windsor police haven't responded to requests for comment. Nazario's attorney says his client is suing so that these incidents stop happening. Wait.
Okay, Alex Preche for us. Thank you. To the Index, news tonight about that deadly shooting in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Police looking for a motive, saying former NFL player Philip Adams shot and killed five people, including a doctor and his family, before taking his own life. Adams' family giving permission now for his brain to be tested for CTE. Prosecutors in Missouri reviewing the crash involving former Kansas City Chiefs coach Britt Reid. He's facing possible charges for the crash that critically injured a 5-year-old girl before the Super Bowl in February. Police say Reid, the son of head coach Andy Reid, told them he had been drinking before the accident. And concerns over a possible wine shortage. French winemakers say frost and freezing temperatures may destroy their grape crops. Plunging temperatures threatening the Chablis, Burgundy, and Bordeaux regions. Some say up to 50% of the harvest may be lost. Finally tonight, America Strong, the proud cafeteria worker passing the test, welcomed with open arms.
It was a total surprise. And all these students lining the halls at Prairie Vale Elementary School in Edmond, Oklahoma, were in on it. Celebrating their beloved cafeteria manager, Janet Lopez, this week, who had just passed the test to become a U.S. citizen.
All students give me hug. United USA was excited. I was crying like a baby, and the teacher were crying.
Originally from Cuba, Lopez and her family moved to the U.S. in 2016 to seek a better life.
When I was a child, I had a dream, like say Martin Luther King, right? My dream was come here to this great country.
Making that dream a reality. Janet, with her right hand on her heart, clutching the American flag in the other.
I know everything about the United States, Constitution, President, everything. It's amazing. I learn a lot of history because I love this country.
And all those kids showing their love right back. The first to officially say, welcome home.
It was really, really exciting. So I feel really good with that. I feel the love.
Great moment, and congratulations. Thanks to our ABC affiliate, KOCO in Oklahoma City. I'm Whit Johnson.